This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, light, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. I just named some of the insurance needs, and everybody has multiple insurance needs. They handle them all. They make sure you're fully insured. They save you money because they're the pros, the best in the business. And customer service means everything to them at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Right, we got a limited window here with Jerry Dulac, my good friend. Jerry, welcome to the show. I know not many people have seen as many NFL field goals this year as you have.
Steve, always a treat to be with you, as you know, my friend. And, yeah, I tell you, the only thing we see more than field goals is penalty flags, it looks like.
Oh.
And that's not a good thing for the product. And I'm sure the owners are intently watching how many flags are being thrown, because they don't like to see their product kind of being disrupted like that and kind of soiled upon, if you will.
You make a really good point. I want to follow up on that, Jerry, because to me, officiating should be about what affects the play. Now, holding penalty obviously affects the play. But I was watching the Texans-Bears game the other night, and I brought this up earlier in the week. And they threw a pass down the far sideline. The Texans pick it off, and it's wiped out because of a pass interference play that's 30 yards away in the middle of the field. Well, that play had nothing to do with this. And to me, you hold the flag unless it's affecting the play, and they're too happy to throw it, it seems.
Or, Steve, you just go pick up the other one when you huddle and say, hey, look, yeah, it was a penalty, but it was away from the play, and it doesn't affect the play, and just pick it up. And I agree with you, and that's part of the problem I have with some of the calls. You know, I'm not an official baiter by any stretch of the imagination, but there are ways – just like you do with replay. Not that it merits a big discussion. It's very simple. You go, hey, that was away from the play. It didn't affect the play. And pick the flag up. Pick the flag up and stop some of these needless penalties. But I can tell you from being at the NFL owners meetings every year, they are concerned about the pace of play. They are concerned about how many disruptions to play. That's why they're very much aware of how much replay they want to use in the game, because then that will delay it even more. And so, you know, excess officiating is, a part and parcel of that as well. And so, believe me, that will get the owner's attention, probably quietly, but it'll get their attention, and it'll trickle down, because that's the last thing they want to see.
All right, so the other part, I brought up field goals, and there have already been 36 field goal attempts beyond 50 yards, of which 34 have been made. Well, 36 is a lot for 2 weeks, as you and I both know. That means you've got 36 drives that are ending at about the 35-yard line. That's what it means to me. I mean, you're not even in the red zone, and the drive is over. How much of this is the cover two part, and how much of this is the fact that maybe you don't have enough quality quarterbacks that can handle it?
Well, I think that is part of it, because that affects the part where they're not getting past that 35-yard line. But I'll tell you the other thing that happens here too, Steve, and I've had this discussion most recently, in fact, with the Steeler kicker, and I'm going to pursue it even more, and that is, the 50-yard field goal used to be kind of a badge of honor. It was a milestone for NFL kickers. Now, Steve, that's like a 40-yard field goal for these kickers. The 60-yard field goal is now what the 50-yard field goal was. The leg strength and the training techniques and the speed of their legs, if you will, has greatly increased the distance for these guys with field goals. I'll give you a small example. Now, I know the Steelers were in the rarefied air, 88 degrees, so the ball's going to fly even farther. Mm-hmm. Well, Chris Boswell is in warm-ups, is hitting them from 63 yards halfway up the net. Will Lutz, the Denver kicker, this in pregame, hits it from 66 yards. And I said to Boswell after the game, I go, why didn't you push it back to 70? He goes, well, I already hit it halfway up the net, so I knew how far I can kick it. And so, yeah, they're getting a little boost from the altitude, of course, you know, whatever that is, 5 to 10% or whatever they get. But nonetheless, you know, a 70-yard field goal is not without the realm of possibility in Denver with today's kickers. And I think that's part of it, too. These guys are not afraid, the coaches, to have their guys kick it from 50-plus because, really, it's nothing for them anymore, Steve.
Well, that's a great point, Jerry. That's a great point. When you look at the play of Justin Fields to this point, what do you like and what are potential concerns?
Well, I think what they like and what has been good is he hasn't turned the ball over. And you see what he can do with his feet. And, yes, he has a cannon for an arm. And, Steve, the play he made the other day, speaking of penalties, you know, where he rolls to the right and he throws some 50-yard, 51-yard completion down the sidelines to George Pickens while running away from pressure, running to his right. You're not going to see any quarterback, I don't care who it is at any level, make a greater play than what he made. And all that is kind of emblematic of the skill set of this guy. But it's 3.5 years now. He won 10 games in 3 years in Chicago. Steve, that's tough to do. So, yeah. Obviously, there are some issues going on with Justin Fields. So, you know, I think we know he can run the ball. If he has to go through his progressions, he's getting to about one or two, and then he's touching it. But that's kind of the way they want him to play. You know, they don't want him opening it up because I think they know what will happen if he, quote, tries to open it up. But, you know, he's 2-0 for the first time in his career, yeah. And that's because he has the benefit of what is a very good defense, too.
And that's the next question, is the defensive part of it. I know Atlanta, Kirk Cousins is still somewhat wounded, but he showed against Philadelphia he can play. We know that Denver right. with Bo Nix, let's face it, I mean, those three starting quarterbacks that are rookies in the NFL have gone through 2 weeks, and not one of them's thrown a touchdown pass yet. But that defense for the Steelers, when you look at them, the pyramid starting with Watt and building out, what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think the back end from the linebackers through the secondary, Steve, much improved. You know, you bring in Patrick Queen, which was, to me, maybe the biggest free agent addition that they made. You know, you got the top inside linebacker. You gave him the biggest contract you've ever given in free agency. They bring in Deshaun Elliott, strong safety, upgrade. They trade to get Dante Jackson, cornerback, big upgraded corner to go with Joey Porter Jr. So that has really strengthened the middle to back end of their defense. I'm still somewhat concerned about the defensive line because they did nothing to improve the defensive line. They are hoping that Cam Hayward at age 35 can recapture his form after an injury-plagued season. And they're counting on Keanu Benton, as you recall, from the Wisconsin days against Penn State, taking another big step because he was very, very good last year as a rookie. But in terms of drafting, which to me, they have to draft the next Cam Hayward. They have to draft a stud on the defensive line. That to me is priority number one and actually has been for the last 2 years, but really has to be now. So I think their defensive line, it's not a liability, but it's not a strength. And I think they have strengthened the next two levels of the defense. And so far, that's what we've seen, you know, in these first two games.
What's it been like for you watching Watt on an every game basis and what he brings to the table and the attention an offense needs to pay to him?
Yeah, and does pay attention to him. You know, Steve, I'm watching, you know, I'm in Atlanta for that opener, and T.J. Watt, you know, it's his first game. He hasn't played in the preseason. And the first five plays, the Texans run this zone scheme to the left, 4 yards, 7 yards, 5 yards, 6 yards, 3 yards. Then they decide, okay, we're going to run it to the right at T.J. Watt. Drops him for a 3 yard loss. That was about the last time they ran that side. And pretty much after he just got into the game, you know, it's a low scoring game, a tight game. The offense isn't really doing a lot. They're kicking field goals. That is the perfect game for TJ Watt to take over, and that's what he did. You know, he had two sacks, one of which was a strip sack and fumble recovery. You know, it was the three team parlay right there for him.
Yep.
And it was negated by a penalty. A stat line would have been even more impressive than it was, but it's just how he can take over and dominate a game, and that's exactly what he did. And I got a kick out of the week of the game. The Falcons coach, Raheem Moore, says, we're not going to let T.J. Watt wreck the game. Well, guess what? T.J. Watt wrecked the game, Steve.
Yeah.
And that's what he can do. That's what he can do, and that's what he does.
We've talked a lot about various guys on the offense, you know, about Pickens, a Freiermuth, and so forth. You know, when you've talked to the Steelers about Zach Frazier, the rookie out of West Virginia at center, what did they tell you about him?
You know, Steve, they are just so impressed with this guy. You know, if you watch the, like, individual highlights of him, you see the way he turns guys, you see the way he moves guys, you see not only the way he pancakes guys. My old late friend Twin Chilkin would always say, get him on the ground and gore him. And that's what Zach Frazier does as well. I mean, he's been very, very impressive. And you talk about an upgrade, you know, to positions. That is certainly an upgrade over what they had. Mason Cole was a dependable center. But this guy looks like he could be a special player.
And, see, that's the wrestling background. I mean, that ability to get somebody to the ground, that wrestling background that Frazier has comes to play as a center in the National Football League.
There's no question about it, Steve, and you can see it on just about every one of those plays for the most part. Plus, not only that, the guys tell me that he, you know, he is a bright guy. You know, the center has to know what everybody really is doing, not only on the offensive line, but, you know, the offense in general. And they tell me he's a smart guy as well. And for a rookie, he's very heady with the way he plays.
Jerry, I know you've got something else you have to take care of. It was a limited window, but I'll take any window I can get with you, my friend. Thank you so much.
Steve, it's always a treat to talk with you. And I will tell you that because my daughter graduated over a year ago, the thing I miss the most are my trips back to campus. I'm starting to get a little separation anxiety, so I'm going to have to make a trip up there very soon.
You let me know. We're going to get some dinner or something, okay?
That's a date. You got it, brother. Thank you.
Always
talking with you, Steve.
Same here. The great Jerry Dulac. I mean, awesome reporter, better guy. Always great to have him on the show. Next half hour, Sweeney Murdy is going to be with us. This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.